All right, we're going to get going. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 through 11 states this. When one of you have a dispute with another believer, how dare you file a lawsuit and ask a secular court to decide the matter instead of taking it to other believers? Don't you realize that someday we believers will judge the world? And since you are going to judge the world, can't you decide even these little things among yourselves? Don't you realize that we will judge angels? So you should surely be able to resolve ordinary disputes in this life. Verse 4. If you have a legal dispute about such matters, why go outside judges who are not respected by the church? I'm saying this to shame you. Isn't there anyone in all the church who is wise enough to decide these issues? But instead, one believer sues another right in front of unbelievers. Verse 7. Even to such lawsuits with one another is a defeat for you. Why not just accept the injustice? Leave it at that. Why not let yourselves be cheated? Instead, you yourselves are the ones who do wrong and cheat even your fellow believers. Verse 9. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or commit adultery or male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or thieves or greedy people or drunkards or abusive or cheap people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. Praise the Lord. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Paul is continuing to write to a dysfunctional church, to a church that has flaws and issues. Show me one church that doesn't have flaws or issues, and I'll show you the church in heaven. Because as long as there's a human involved or a couple of humans involved, there's going to be disputes, there's going to be issues, there's going to be problems. Just like in marriage, just like raising kids, just like work, it's like any place you go. There's no perfect place, especially if you show up. Because I guarantee you, you're not perfect. You might be righteous, you might be holy, you might be set apart, you might be all these things. But even in the church, there's disputes that break out between fellow people. And Paul is going to address this head on. He's writing to the church and says, you two are squabbling over useless stuff. You ever been in a church where members are squabbling over stuff? This is not a criminal justice system. This is between two people who are not getting along, who are fighting over stuff. Over maybe money, over land, over whatever it could be. Properties, just downright stuff. It's not a criminal thing. That's not what Paul's talking about. That if you rob a bank, he's not saying that, oh, just bygones be bygones. No, he says you rob a bank, you take, that's a criminal act, and you get to deal with that in the criminal situation. This is between two people or two entities. And Paul's saying, why are you bickering over such little things? And when you're bickering over such little things, why are you taking it to somebody who does not like you? Because in this culture, you remember, it's not the American culture. So we get wrapped up and we think that everybody, the Bible's written, or we think everybody has the same culture as we do here in America. I guarantee you, you go down to Haiti, it's a totally different culture than here in Minnesota. They're probably a little bit more friendly up here at times.
Yes.
Especially in the city. But Herbie was talking to me yesterday, I go, just put up a tent and sleep in the tent in Haiti. He goes, no, Pastor, you can't do that. That's not safe. I go, well, they carry a gun. He goes, that's not good either. And so it's a different culture down there than it is here in at least southern Minnesota. And Southern Minnesota has a different culture than it does up in the Twin Cities. And the Twin City has a different culture than Phoenix. And so everywhere you go, there's a different culture everywhere you go. And remember, Paul's writing it from a different culture, a different aspect than we see. And so in this culture, the judges did not like believers. They absolutely were appointed, and they were part of the government's arm to keep law and order. And so here he is. He goes, why are you taking your civil matters to somebody that absolutely hates you, that has not the best interest for the church? See, not everyone, even in America, has the best interest for this church. Do you know there's people in this city that would care, would love and probably celebrate if we wouldn't meet on a Sunday morning? Not everybody's getting excited that we gathered together and we fellowship this morning. I mean, you guys are having church before church started. That's what it's about. Fellowshipping and enjoying one another's company. Not everyone celebrates when you come to know Christ. My family, you know, to be honest with you, not everyone's excited when you start growing in God. You ever start growing in God and people get jealous of you? Like, wow, they're just good tissues, aren't they? I don't know what a goody tissue is. Unless it's a clean tissue that you need to use. That's a goody tissue. But people will rather celebrate you doing something wrong and say, wow, you know, but once you turn the corner and start serving God and you put it away behind things that used to have you bound, they're saying, well, now aren't they good tissues? Well, aren't they the teacher's pet? Well, who do they think they are? They get a little Jesus, and now all of a sudden they become holy rollers. All they talk about is Jesus, 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 Jesus. Anything wrong with that? Well, they were a lot more fun when they were having a little bit too much to drink, or a little bit too much to eat, or a little bit too much of this, or a little bit too much, or when they were carousing and all that. They were a lot more fun. Were they? Are they still fun today? Just a different type of fun. See, once you start following Jesus, you start growing in Him, not everyone's excited. And so Paul's saying, hey, you got a problem between this person and this person in the church. Why don't you go to somebody who's mature and they can help you mediate these things? I think most of our problems in the church can be solved in the church if we have somebody who is not invested in those two things. You ever get worked up over something and you can't think straight? And you're like, oh, my way is the right way. I don't care. I don't care what the other viewpoint is. My way is the right way. That's the way it's going to be. And the person over here is saying the same thing. But all of a sudden, you have somebody who steps in who has no emotional ties to this person or that person, and they can say, you both are being idiots. Come here. Boom. Right? And most of the time, arguments happen because you didn't get your way or there was a lack of communication. Not once have I ever been sad when I didn't get my way, when I got my way. I'm always happy when I get my way. Yeah! But when I don't get my way, sometimes I'm like, whoa. I didn't get my way, God. And Paul's saying here, why are we going to let somebody who has no care about the church and about godly people, why should we let ungodly people tell us how we should do things in the church? See, the thing about it, Jesus said, hey, keep meeting. As the days approach, people will say, we don't need to meet as much. No, we need to meet even more because we need each other even more. And it doesn't mean that you're meeting to have a Bible study, which is great. You can say, hey, Gary, come on, let's go for a run with me. And he's just looking at me like, nah, I'm enjoying my chair. So is Jean. She hasn't got up on her running shoes yet either. But I do yell at them, make sure they're awake outside. But the thing about it is that you have this person and this person. inside the church who's not getting along over, let's say, over a bike or whatever, why don't we have somebody in the church who's mature enough to guide them through the process? That's what Paul's saying here. You guys, I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of wisdom here. In our congregation, there's a lot of wisdom. Cletus has a lot of wisdom with building stuff. So does Marty. But me, you don't want me to build things. You don't want me to work on cars. You don't want me to be a doctor. There's things that you're wise in that you can give your wisdom to other people to help them out. I will come along and encourage you to do what God calls you to do, and I'll be your biggest cheerleader, your biggest encouragement. And so the thing about it, you don't have, I mean, and that's the reason why we need each other, and sometimes we get so stubborn that if it's not my way, I want to pick up my ball and walk off the court and pout. Paul goes, that's not the right attitude as a believer. We need to work through it and say, okay, maybe I didn't get my way, but I'm okay with what God's doing. And so Paul is saying, don't take it to the people outside the church. Continue to work inside the church. Continue to, and it says legal disputes even. I had a legal right to sue somebody in Arizona. Because I was working for this gentleman, and he, according to time cards, he missed hours of my time working for him. And it was hundreds upon hundreds of dollars. And I had all the right to go and say, hey, and then I asked him about it. He goes, oh, no. And this, I'm not the first person he's ever tried to swindle little extra money out of. And I go, Lord, what do you want me to do? He goes, let it go. Don't even push it. Let it go. So he was going to come by, and he goes, with a grumpiness. And I go, you know, you can just keep that. You need it more than I do. I'm good. God will take care of us. We never missed that money. Actually, we were blessed beyond our measure. Because, you know, I could have easily said, hey, I'm going to take this guy to court. And, you know, small claims court. And there's times that we as believers that we need to do, you go through court situations, such as if somebody who is just being ruthless and stuff like that. That's not what Paul's saying. If you guys can work it out in the church. But this is between two believers. If you're a believer and this person is a hustler or whatever he is, just a downright nasty person, and he's been nasty to everyone, and he doesn't care, and Paul's saying you can't. He's saying that proceed with caution to make sure what you're doing. And so the thing about it is that and then he goes on, he goes, hey, watch out the way that person's treating you. You might be treating somebody else that same way. See, the thing about it is that so many times we get caught up in our own ways, and God's like saying, hey, just let it be. Let it lie. I guarantee you, we all have had run-ins with people, and we're like, oh man, I just want to slap them. I just want to bop them. But I'm going to let God deal with them. See, when God deals with them, it's so much easier. So much easier. You pray for them, you forgive them, you release them, you move on. But Paul here is saying, between believers. And he goes, I'm saying this to shame. In other words, he's saying, you guys are doing it, stop it! Get some godly help. Isn't there anyone in the church who's wise enough to decide issues? But instead, one believer sues another. And he goes, even to have such lawsuits with one another is a defeat for you. Instead, you yourselves are the ones who do wrong and cheat even you. And he goes, are you cheating them? Are you doing wrong? And then Paul continues to write. He goes, even such laws, He goes, don't you recognize those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? That doesn't mean that you just mess up and you did something wrong. It means the attitude of, I don't care, and I'm going to keep doing it. God, I know, God, this is against what you told me to do, but I don't care. I'm going to keep doing it. That's rebellion. When you say, I don't care, I'm going to keep doing it, you look at God in the eyes and says, that's rebellion. And we don't like talking about rebellion because rebellion in America is a good thing. Well, I'm a rebel with a cause. How many remember that guy? I'm a rebel with a cause. No, you're still a rebel. I don't care what your cause is. A rebel got kicked out of heaven. See, rebellion, pride, those are things when people say, you can't tell me what to do. You're not the boss of me. Or I love when people say, you can't judge me, I'll let God judge me. That's a bad statement. I don't want God to judge me because I won't be in heaven if he judges me according to my merit and my works. Oh my, I'm in major trouble. But if I'm judged by the righteousness of Jesus, and when he looks at me, he sees me as holy, righteous, saint. Have you called anybody a saint lately? Well, you, if you're a believer, you're a saint. Well, I don't know. I might be a tipping saint. Well, just stop tipping. Just be a saint. But the thing about it, when God looks at you,
he goes, don't you realize they will not inherit the kingdom? What is the kingdom of God?
The kingdom of God is doing what God tells you to do. See, my walk is bigger than just the church. Bigger than just Dodge County or Dodge Center. It's about the kingdom. What does God want to do in the kingdom? In his kingdom. See, the cool thing about it, when you hook up with the right people in the kingdom of God, you can go so much farther and be more refreshed than if you just did it on your own. The kingdom of God is so much bigger than our little circle, Dodge Center. Yeah, I want to see Dodge Center all saved. That's my goal. That's my heartbeat. My heartbeat is to see Dodge County, Holy Spirit, sweep through and wipe out all wickedness. And it'd be like a glorious thing. When people drive on 14, when they come out of Olmsted County and head to Steele, and they drive to Dodge County, there's something different. And when people drive and they see the exits and see Dodge Center and they're saying, leaving Dodge Center, when they're in this area, they'll know there's a difference, that they know there's a living God. When people drive by this place, when people drive by your home, when people drive by you, they'll see something different. Because it's not about you, it's about the kingdom of God. It's about what he wants to do in you and through you. See, we're just a conduit. And the conduit, the wires, and the electricity flow through it. Without conduit, it's much tougher for electricity to flow. There's current that flows. The conduit. The kingdom of God is so much bigger. The kingdom of God is here now and in the future. It's an economy. It's both at the same time. The kingdom of God is coming, but yet we get to live in the kingdom of God now. It changes things. Things don't stay the same with the kingdom of God.
things radically change. That Paul says you were this, but now you're this. He has a list. He's writing to the church. And he goes, hey, church. He did. This is addressed to the church, not to the world, okay? This is addressed to the church.
He goes, don't fool yourselves. All right? Don't fool yourself. You think you're getting away with something, but you're not.
See, the thing about it, we love to tell little white lies. And we got to make sure that we don't ask the wrong questions as well. Does this bow tie make me look handsome or not? Oh, it looks make you look like Oral Revenbacher. I'm okay with that. I like his popcorn. He's a good popcorn maker. I have no problem with that. But the thing about it is that we love to tell lies to ourselves. Well, I'm not doing that bad. Because we're comparing ourselves to other people. But in all actuality, we got to say, Lord, come and search my heart. Make it ever new. Let me seek you.
And so here's Paul. He's saying, hey, don't fool yourself. Those who indulge in sexual sin, that means all sexual, doesn't mean just one or the other, but all of it, or who worship idols. Sounds like we're getting in America. And an idol
could be, I'll phrase this, at first you'll say, oh, but then I'll explain. Could be the cross. And what I mean by that, in the Old Testament, Moses was with his people, and people were getting bitten by a snake, right? And then they put the snake up on the pole, wrapped around it. And when they would get bit, if they looked at that pole, they would what? Become healed. But guess what? After time, over time, rather than looking for it for God working through it, they started worshiping the pole and that snake. Rather than God himself, who was using that item to bring healing. Just like a cross, we can say, oh man, I love what Jesus did on the cross, but we stop worshiping the one who died on the cross, and we start worshiping the cross itself. Well, it can't be a church because it doesn't have a cross. I'd rather remove the cross and have the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know over in Iran, China, they don't have crosses on their churches? Does that mean they're... Say no, because we have made this beautiful thing and we start saying, oh, we got to have this. An idol takes the place of God. We will worship people. We'll worship, oh, my mom was the greatest. I guarantee you she probably wasn't, but hey, she might have been great. Oh, my dad was the greatest. Well, I can't guarantee he was the greatest, but he probably was great. We start worshiping all these different idols. And the thing about it, when we worship idols, when we worship those things, and whatever's attachment to it, it becomes our identity with that. I'd rather have a powerful movement of God than anything else. And sometimes revival can become an idol. Anything outside of God himself can become an idol because we make it bigger than, well, if I don't feel goosebumps, we make goosebumps an idol. Oh, I felt goosebumps today. It must be God. I felt goosebumps after I get done exercising. I get cold. You go try to run 16 miles and see if you don't get cold after you run. You'll stink too, just like me. But the thing about it, we'll make anything like, oh, the presence of God, we'll make that an idol. It's the presence of God. Oh. What is the presence? Guess what? Most of the time, You don't know God's with you because you don't feel him, but he's still with you. This would be weird. My wife and I hanging out, you know, in the same room, but I'm always touching her. What are you doing? I'm trying to read a book. Okay, I'm touching you. She feels my presence, right? What are you trying to do now? I'm trying to eat food. Oh, okay, good. Wouldn't that be weird? Well, annoying! She's used to that. But wouldn't that be annoying? But just knowing, what if, hey, I want to sit across from the table from you for supper tonight, Denise? Knowing that I'm here, okay, that's good. I know that you're here. She doesn't feel me because I'm not touching her. Same thing with God. That, oh, I don't feel God. He must not be with me. Yeah, he is. He's my thing. You're weird. You don't need me to touch you all the time. There's times his presence is greater and you sense him more and the power is greater and things like that. That's great. And you think about it, we're going to be baptizing people in July. The water is not the idol. Baptism is not the idol. What's going to happen is the Holy Spirit will meet you in the baptism. And the Holy Spirit will touch you in the baptism. There's nothing special about that water, besides it will be clean and warm. There's nothing special about the prayers, because prayers don't heal you. Jesus heals you. And sometimes we even make our prayers an idol. Well, I gotta say the Lord's Prayer 3 times today, because if I don't, that becomes an idol. That becomes actually part of witchcraft. It becomes what it was never meant to be. It meant to be a guide, to guide us, to draw closer to God. We can make anything. Well, you know,
pastor doesn't wear his bow tie. It's not Father's Day. Okay, I got stuck on that one for a while. Worship idols or commit adultery. We know what that is. Or male prostitutes. We know what those are. Or practice homosexuality. We know what that is. Verse 10. Or thieves. We know what that is. Greedy people. Greedy people doesn't mean just in finances. Greedy people mean in every area. Oh, I got to get the latest and greatest. I got to have the name brand. I gotta get my Adidas, because that's the only shoe I like. I gotta get my champion, you know, back in the Kmart days, they used to have champion. I gotta get my champion, you know. Wait, I gotta get the greedy. This is where you, me. It actually talks about that in the book of Psalms. It's like, it sucks life out of you. Greed actually sucks life out of you. Those who are greedy will never be satisfied. But those who give and give abundantly, you'll always be satisfied.
Well, go on. You didn't like that one. Greedy people, drunkards, or abusive, or cheap people. None of these will inherit the kingdom of God. I'm after the inheritance of the kingdom.
You know, my dad told me, he goes, you know, I'll spend all your inheritance. And he did a good job of it. He had a lot of fun spending that inheritance. It was his to spend. It was his money. He could do with it whatever he wants. But the thing about it is that my inheritance is not going to be anything outside the kingdom of God.
That, see, when we're thinking, well, I can't wait till this person passes away and then I'll have an inheritance and then I'll be able.
No. Our inheritance, you know when you get your inheritance? Anybody know when you get inheritance? Is when someone passes away, right? Did you know you already have an inheritance? You know why? Because Jesus passed away. And that inheritance is already yours. You don't have to wait to heaven to receive that inheritance.
You can receive that inheritance today. Say, Jesus, whatever you have for me is my inheritance today, so I can walk in your kingdom, so I can walk in the authority, because I can walk in the power, I can walk in the anointing, because I got the inheritance. Can you imagine a church full of inherited people saying, I got the power? And you can walk out and says, that is my inheritance. The Holy Spirit is part of your inheritance. And when the Holy Spirit's upon you and in you, guess what? You can walk out in the kingdom of God and you can change the culture.
Yeah.
You are the voice. Lois, when you go to those meetings, when you meet with all these other ladies, when you go to the the historical meetings, you're taking God with you. Mm-hmm. You're God's ambassador to those around the table. How awesome is that? Every time you go on a job, you're the ambassador for God. We're ambassadors. How awesome is that? We won't sing the old song, the ambassador song. I know there was an old hymn with that. But you're an ambassador, Jeannie and Gary, everywhere you go. You take Christ with you. Just like when we have ambassadors in Canada and around the world, they're taking the United States with them and saying, hey, this is what our values are. We, as ambassadors for Christ, we take Christ's values everywhere we go. And that's the reason why when there's darkness, there's, and you show up, now there's light, and darkness must flee. You don't flee from darkness. Darkness doesn't have authority over you. Light has power and authority over darkness. So go and walk in authority. Walk in that ambassador.
Yeah, that's the word. Verse 11. I love how Paul says, some of you were once like that. Like what? Go back and read the list. How many of you were once like that?
At least maybe not that list, maybe a different list, but maybe you were one of those. Okay, I want to pick on greed because I think we've all been probably greedy at one time or another. Maybe not. If you're not, praise the Lord. But you were that way, all about you. Now you're saying, no, I want to be all about the kingdom of God. You were once that way, but now you're this.
Why? Why did we do that? How do we change? But you were cleansed, that's how. How do you get cleansed? By Jesus. You know, he's soap for your soul. We will not sing that one. There's a little kid's song about soap. You were once made, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. In other words, you were set apart. You're holy, Jerry. You're set apart for God. You're holy, Mary. St. Dave, you're holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. You are now in right relationship with the Father. The relationship Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden before sin, we can recoup that because of what Jesus did on the cross. How awesome is that? I'm not saying go run around naked. Okay? Don't run around naked like Adam and Eve did before they sinned, okay? I'm talking about relationship with the Father, not anything else. Is there sin in the world that affects us? Yes. But my relationship, it doesn't matter what anybody does, my relationship with Christ will never change. The people I look up to, they could go and do horrible things. But guess what? My relationship with Christ will not change. I will always serve Christ to my best ability. I don't care what people does. I don't care what the government does. I don't care what the people in a good way, I think we all admire different people at different times about what God's doing. And even Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. But the thing about it, don't put them on a pedestal, because guess what? They will fall off the pedestal. You know where we're supposed to be is on the altar. Sacrificing what we desire for what God desires. And the thing about it is that you can admire like their prayer life and things like that and follow them as they follow Christ. But I guarantee you, everybody, you're like, I won't follow them because I don't like everything they do. And that's fine. But follow Christ. Because there's something that, because you know something that, when we, our kids were smaller, believe it or not, Jeremy was smaller than me at one time. It's amazing. He was the smallest one in the family. You guys remember that? 10 years ago, he was that little peak squeak, little.
Hey, my name is Jared.
Hey, that was a pretty good job, wasn't it? No?
But he was smaller, but then he grew. And he keeps growing. But not just physically, but spiritually. Growing. See, our job is to keep growing, not physically, but to grow spiritually. See, the thing about it, one thing I love when saints get closer to death, they're still growing in Christ. They still want. The thing about Jean, before she passed away last September, October last year, she still had, Pastor, this is what I learned. Pastor, oh, the Lord beat me up on this one today. And not in a mean way the Lord beat her up, but like, hey, the Lord convicted me. She was still growing and growing. How awesome is that? Our job is to keep growing. I was once bound, but now I'm set free. I can tell the world what Jesus done for me. Hell lost another. I am set free. I am free. I am free. Are you free? Go out and do what God's called you to do. You were once that. Don't let the devil keep relabeling you what you were once. He's the accuser of the brother. He's going to continue to accuse you. Oh, Eric, hey, Dad, look, you messed up. Just slap him. Just slap him at home. Go on. So get out of my life and go on. All right, I'm done.
Father, we thank you. We praise you. We love you. We thank you for your word.